Jimmy was a construction worker. Down to earth kind of guy. Could fix almost anything, you know? If you were stuck on a deserted island with a bunch of people, you wanted to make sure Jimmy was one of those people. He was a good guy to have in those kinds of situations, but Jimmy was not a socialite. Sit around a glass table with a cup of tea and discuss relationships, that was not Jimmy. He knew how to fix things, not relationships. But he had gone to a conference where he had experienced a personal revival. And he determined to allow himself to be used by God. What an awesome thing to do, huh? He had decided, I am God's man. End of story. Where God leads, I'm going. Jimmy, that next week, went out with a delivery of windows to a job site. Now, in my neighborhood, I have a bunch of houses that are going up, you know, and I see them put up the block and everything, and then they put framing and stuff inside, and then some guy comes along and he delivers windows. And there's other guys waiting there, and they take the windows and they put them in the frames that have been built. Well, Jimmy was the guy delivering windows. And while he was there, he fell into talking to one of the carpenters, Nick, that was there to frame in the windows. And as he talked, Nick told him that his marriage was falling apart. Now, normally, Jimmy would have been sympathetic. Wow, that's a really bum deal, you know? Sorry to hear it. But as soon as he could have, he would have been talking, hey, how about those Tigers, huh? Doing really good in spring training, aren't they? Yes, indeed. Because that just wasn't where he wanted to be, to talk about that kind of thing. But he felt God leading. He felt God moving. He felt God in this conversation. And so Jimmy asked, Nick, I really want to help. What can I do for you? And without missing a beat, Nick comes back with, tell me how to save my marriage. Jimmy panics, but still believing that he has had a revival with God that makes a difference in his life, and not just a difference in his words, but a difference in the way he acts, the way he behaves, the way he obeys where the Lord is leading. Jimmy takes an outrageous step of faith, and he says to Nick, well, why don't you go get something to write? And when you get back, I'll tell you what to do. Can you imagine trying that? When did Jimmy suddenly get his marriage counselor license? You know? But he decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow step by step where God is leading, even if it seems crazy to me. I'm going to follow where God is leading. I'm going to do what God is asking. I'm going to take an outrageous step of faith. Open your Bibles. We'll leave Nick out there getting something to write with for just a minute. And we'll leave Jimmy wondering, what have I just done? And what am I going to say when Nick gets back? Open your Bibles, John chapter 4. How many of you have never read this story in John chapter 4? Never read this story in your nation? That's what I figured. Every single one of you have read this story. What kind of pictures do you get in your head when you read this story? What comes to your mind? I want you to kind of visualize. You read your Revive Us Again for this week, right? And if you remember the personal application on page 80, he talked about a three-step process. Do you remember the three steps? Visualize was step number one. Step number two, identify. And step number three, meditate. V-I-M. Visualize, identify, meditate. I want you to visualize for a moment with me, what did it look like at that well? Was it a well like you see maybe out in the west of the United States, you know, where it has a little neat roof over the top? And it had the little wooden things going down the side that held a frame, that there was a metal piece that went across with a rope wrapped around it that went down into there with a bucket at the end. Was that what you picture? I hope not. What do you picture? They talk about the well at our feet. So if there was an edging around it, do you picture it maybe with nice smoothed off square blocks of stone and good even borders and mortars in between? Is that what you visualize? I hope not. Hope not. Or was it maybe just rough stone and a hole in the ground? With a little rope laying there, and you brought your own water jar. Didn't the lady bring her own water jar? And you put the rope around your own water jar. How far was it from town? Could you shout from the well to town? Were there trees nearby? Like kind of an oasis sort of a thing? What was it like? What's the picture in your head as you visualize this scene? What time of day was it? Do you remember? What time of day? If you read it there, it says sixth hour, right? In verse 6, right? Verse 6, it says the sixth hour for those of us in King James or New King James or something like that. Some of you may have another version that tells you a time of day that makes sense to us, right? So what does it say there? About noon, exactly, about noon. About noon. And so here it was, middle of the day. Was that the time to come and draw water? Or would you come in the morning or in the evening? Typically, you wouldn't come in their society in the middle of the day. It's too hot to go up and do that. Get it in the morning while it's cool. Get it in the evening before you need it for bed. You didn't come in the middle of the day. Why would somebody come in the middle of the day? What was going on in this woman's life that she would come in the middle of the day? Jesus had traveled a long way, hadn't he? It says he was going from where to where? Verse 2. Oh, sorry, verse 3. Verse 3. Where was it coming from? Judea, right? Judea. Those of you who pulled up the map there, how far was that, do you guess? Not quite that far. That was the whole trip, though, from Judea to Galilee. That's about how far that was. Yeah, about 75 miles for the whole trip. But by noon, they hadn't even come close. It was probably 30 miles, maybe. So it sounds like they've gotten a really early start, because that'd be a long walk even for a whole day, wouldn't it? Because let's face it, they were private car number 11, right? One and one, private car number 11, right? Yeah, that's what we had in Korea a lot. And when the first Koreans told me private car number 11, I was like, what is that? Yeah, he said one and one, private car number 11, you know? You just walk. And so here it was, they've been walking all day, it's noon o'clock in the desert, or nearly so. What's right up there? The sun? Anything else between? Not much. Probably not many clouds. At least that's my picture of this day. And here's Jesus. He's been walking all day. Probably had been doing miracles the day before, healing, teaching, talking with people. He'd gotten to bed late, got up early to have prayer because he wouldn't miss worship. And now here he is, half a day later, hot, tired, and thirsty. You ever remember that thirsty time when your mouth is sort of pasty and sticky and it's like, whew, I just need a drink. That's what I picture Jesus. And you know, along the entire route, there was not one 7-Eleven. No Circle K, not even a Coke machine. Okay, a Dasani machine, because we wouldn't drink Coke, right? And so here he is out there sitting on the side of the well, and he's waiting for somebody to come along. Now think about this. The one who created the vast, trackless oceans is dependent on a stranger to happen by for a cup of water. Wow. And there he sits, waiting. And as he sits, somebody comes along. But it's not just a Jew, which he would have no problem dealing with, but it was a Samaritan. You know about the Jews and the Samaritans and the difficulties they had. I want you to think about that just a minute. Think about the place where if you were driving through it and your car broke down, it's the last place you'd want to be. That's the place. That's where he was. And his car broke down. His private car, number 11, stopped right there. And he's stuck. And his radiator's singing. His temperature gauge is bouncing up against the hot. And there he sits, among his enemies. Hatred, suspicion were in the air. You know, even to avoid that kind of possibility, there were Jews who would go all the way around in order to avoid the possibility of coming in contact with the unclean. They'd go all the way around. Why, on their way to church in the mornings, they would roll up their window so they didn't have to see the guy at the corner looking for a buck. Oh, wait, that's today. Sorry. Wrong story. And think about the religious situation. Why, back in Ezra's day, the Samaritans had come and said, let us help build the temple. And Ezra had said, not a chance. Get out of here. We don't want your kind around here. Okay, not quite like that. But that was the way that they took it. And ever since, trouble. Trouble ever since. And here's Jesus sitting there as a Samaritan comes up. Oh, but not just any Samaritan. Check it out. In verse, where is it? Verse 9. Yeah. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman?" It's not just a Samaritan, but it's a Samaritan woman. Oh, man, couldn't it have at least been a guy? I'm sure that's not what Jimmy was thinking. I'm glad it's a guy. Whew, at least it's a guy. But how do you tell another guy how to fix a relationship? And so here's Jesus sitting there. He's got this woman coming up. He sees her. In your picture of this scene, does Jesus see her coming to the well? He sees her coming up, right? And what's he start doing? Oh, man, a Samaritan. Oh, psh. And not just any Samaritan, a Samaritan woman. Thanks a lot. Could this get any worse? How do I get the windows up when the car's off? This button doesn't work. Is that what Jesus said? What was Jesus thinking? How to protect himself? How to insulate himself from this situation? How can I just get out of this gracefully and get done and get on my way? I'm on my way to Galilee. How do I get past this? Oh, man, why does she have to come now? Is that what he was saying? Why does that guy have to come down my side with his little sign? Sure, I'll bet he's some Vietnam vet, sure. Right? Let me turn up the radio. Oh, look! There's a bird! Wow! Is that what we do? Is that what Jesus did? Jesus was praying, how can I help this person? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think that would be on Jesus' mind? How can I help this person? Note the mindset here. Jesus is not thinking, whoo, good, she's got a jar, at least I can get some water. It's not about him, it's about her. It's not about the Jew, it's about the Samaritan. It's how can I help them? Just like Jimmy asked, when he had a revival in his life, it swapped from being about him to being about someone else. How do you know a true revival from a false? Does it make a difference in your life? Does it make a difference in what you say and what you sing and that kind of thing? Or does it make you love your enemies? Because that's what Jesus was doing, wasn't it? Loving his enemies. As he's coming up there, he's praying to himself, how can I help this woman? And here's the woman. She's coming up there. Let's identify with her for just a minute. Remember, it's visualize, then it's identify. Let's identify with this woman for just a minute. She's walking up there, and she's thinking, I'm coming here in the middle of the day because I don't want to see people. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to deal with anybody. I don't need any questions. And who's sitting here? Oh, thanks. It's even a guy. Great. Just ducky. And, oh, now that I'm getting a little bit closer, it's even a Jew. Ah, oh, can my day get any worse? Where is that button on my window? I know what I'll do. I'll just ignore him. I'll keep right on walking. I'll do my thing and I'll get out of here. I'll just do what I have to. And so she ties that rope on there and lets it down. Here's a glug, glug. Doesn't it glug, glug, glug in your vision of this? Doesn't it go glug, glug, glug? Come on now. Tell the truth. How else is she going to know it's full? Think about it. You got to visualize this stuff, right? Yeah. It glug, glug, glugs as the air's coming out of the bottle, and she sees it coming up to the top and reflecting off the dark water, right? At the top of the pool there. Yeah. Visualize. Take it in. Think about it. Let your mind grasp Christ's life, especially the closing scenes, right? Yeah, you know. You've heard that before. And so she hears it glug, 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 and then she starts pulling it up, and it's coming up, and she's coming up, right? And she gets the rope off, and she's just about to leave when it happens. Give me a drink. Oh, man, I almost made it. I almost made it. I almost was out of here. And later, the disciples come along. Can we identify with them? Think about the disciples just for a minute. Here they were, walking with Jesus, right? They're hot and tired. Yeah? Isn't it true? And during this time, while the woman's filling up her jar and trying to get out of there, and Jesus strikes up a conversation and stuff, the disciples are where? In town, getting food, right? They're getting the supplies they need to take care of themselves and their master, right? Now think about you and I in that situation. Hey, Jesus, have a seat here at the well. Relax. Take it easy. We'll be right back. We'll do the legwork. We'll do what's necessary to move the work of God forward. Isn't that what they were doing? Because they were getting stuff, supplies, for Jesus so he could keep on going on up to Galilee, right? They were working for God. They were the center of the work of God right then, weren't they? They were what it was all about. Jesus, the disciples, working for God and everything. And they had no clue. They were miles and miles and miles from what was really happening in the kingdom of God right then. Because Jesus was connecting. Jesus was helping. Jesus was loving. Jesus was befriending an enemy right then, right there for the kingdom of God that they would never have even noticed. Ever. And yet they thought themselves, boy, we're doing God's work, man. We're there. And they were in a way, weren't they? And yet they were doing stuff without the heart. You see, what they needed was a revival, wasn't it? Because they needed to realize that even these hated enemies were God's people. They were not the lineage of Jacob. Although, if you look at verse 12, note what the woman says. Are you greater than what? What's that next word? Our father, Jacob. And so, yes, they weren't the chosen people out there, but they were the people that needed God's love. Okay, I'll try that again. They were the people that needed God's love. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? We are not here only solely to love one another. We should do that, shouldn't we? But we have a bigger purpose, don't we? We have been put on this earth to love others as Jesus loved. Isn't that the commandment, by the way? The second commandment, right? Love others as you love yourself, right? And so this was the work, yes, but without the heart. They went into town and probably could not even remember what the shopkeeper's face looked like because they didn't care about him. They didn't want to know him. They didn't want to see him. They didn't want to talk with him. They only had to, so they did just enough to do their business and move on. Do we do that sometimes? Do we have times when we're doing God's work and have not a clue who we're doing it for? We talk with them, but only enough to do the business. You know, we hand out the tract, but we don't really think about that there's a person whose hand is reaching out there. Do we really love that person? Do we hand them the tract because we care? Do we really have their interest in mind? Are we with Jimmy asking, how can I help? What can I do for you? Can I make a difference in your life? Can I love you? And what about the townspeople? Oh, some Jews are in town. Give them the ugly apples. Right? Or make them pay through the nose for the good ones. Right? And they had no clue that what was happening was about to change their world. What an awesome opportunity we have as well. I want you to take a look with me at verse 16. You've read this story. I don't need to read it word for you. Take a look at verse 16. And I want you to put yourself again in the shoes of that woman and listen to verse 16. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. How would you feel knowing your history? How would you feel? I was trying to think of a way today to give you each a little piece of paper that you didn't open. And I was to tell you, your most secret hidden sin is on that paper. And then see what you did when you opened it, you know? You open it up, and it was going to be blank anyway, but... But I wonder, as you opened that up, what you would have gone like. Whether you would have gone, whoo, I'm glad wasn't on there. Right? You know what I mean? Right? I'm glad that wasn't on there, whatever that is for you. Right? Whoo, I'm glad that wasn't on there. Right? And so... the problem was is that when this lady opened the paper, that was on there. The very thing she didn't want the world to know, it was on there. How would you feel? What would you do? How would you react? That's a tough one. Because our tendency is to do what the woman did. Protect. Right? Throw up our arms, throw up our defenses, throw up the shields. Shields up, Scotty. Right? And that is not what we do when God confronts us, or we will never experience the revival we need. Because God is looking to make a change in our lives as surely as He was looking for a change in this woman's life. And now let's think about meditation. We visualized, we identified, let's meditate for a moment. Let's think about it. Let's look at verse 19. Verse 19, are you with me? The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, as she said these words, what was in her mind? Oh, this guy is just a magician who can, you know, do magic things? Or was she serious about him having a connection with God? Right? There was some connection there that she was cognizant of, right? She recognized there's some connection there. And so she's beginning to get a little bit of light in her mind as this conversation goes forward. She knows he's got a connection with God. Verse 25. Are you with me? Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. Why did she say that? Because as she was going through this, she said, is this guy got such a connection that it's more than just a connection like a prophet would have? Is this more than a prophet? Might this be? And so she's going to kind of put her toe in the water here, you know, and dabble it around and see, could this really be the Christ? The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. She's putting her toe in the water here, right? And this bombshell Jesus drops in verse 26. Do you realize that the great religious leaders were not privy to this revelation? Like this hated enemy woman. You see the steps down the ladder this lady is. But Jesus reveals it to her and not to the self-righteous. We need to come to the place in our revival where we are willing to put ourselves at His feet humbly, completely, as this woman was willing to do. Yes, laid bare in our souls before God, not with protection, but with openness and sincerity. This is what it's real when we have a genuine, true revival. That's where we need to be going, like this woman. Jesus was able then to reveal himself in a way that hardly was even able, he was able to reveal to the disciples. I who speak to you, am he. What an earth-shaking event. Under the cloudless sky, at noon, in a dusty countryside, beside a hole in the ground. Verse 28, are you with me? Verse 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot. Why did she come here? To get water, but she left with the living water. Ooh, and with the satisfaction of the living water welling up in her, she didn't need Jacob's water anymore. She had the water of life. And so here it was. She left her water pot, went her way into the city. Now, wait. Why did this woman go to the well at noon? Not in the morning, not in the evening. Why at noon? To avoid people, right? To avoid all of the messy details of her life, right? Isn't that why she went there then? But notice now she's tearing back into town and she's going directly to the men of the town. Are we gathering what this is happening here? Can you see what's happened in this lady's life? First, she begins to get an inkling. Then she puts her toe into the water, and now she's just tearing into it. Do you see the revival that's taken place in this lady's life? You see, with her, it's more than just lip service. It's more than just I go to the right church. It's more than just, yeah, I didn't do any work on Saturday. This was a change of life. Verse 29, come see a man. Oh no, we're not hiding now. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Wow! What has gotten into this woman? What's her next words? Yeah, that's what's gotten into her. What could possibly get into somebody to make that happen? You see, revival was beginning. It began with this lady. It began with Jimmy. It's beginning here as we take up this book, as we look at what God is trying to do among us, as we begin to understand that God is looking for a change of our lives. We're not just business as usual. This is God. This is not just some cool guy. This is God. This is not just some fancy person. This is God. This is not just an entertainer. This is God. This is not just a politician. This is God. He is calling us to a changed life. A revival. And it started with one. Now you may say to yourself, well, it doesn't look like anything's happened around here for the last 40 years. Okay, be the change. Right? Right? Be the change. Be what God wants you to be today. Step out. Take that outrageous step of faith. Make it happen in your life. Can you imagine what thoughts could have been going through that woman's head as she's hightailing it back in? I wonder if little smoke dusties came up from behind her feet. I don't know. I get, you know, I do that visualization thing, you know. As she's heading back into town, think of what could have been going through her head. Oh, what's everybody going to say? Wait till the elders of the town hear about this. Ooh, man. Oh, maybe I ought to just be, you see where it goes? Maybe I ought to just be quiet. Not rock the boat. I'll just start kind of sliding in on the last pew and go to church and, you know, not ruffle too many feathers. You know what I mean? That's what she could have said. But no, she goes tearing into town, goes right up to these guys and says, hey, here's a guy who's told me all the terrible things that you guys have all known I've been doing all along. Right? Come on out and see this guy. Right? That's where we need to be. So in love. Are you with me now? So in love with Jesus, we are forgetful of self and reach out to others. Got it? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Revival, if it's a true revival, makes a difference in our lives. We not only keep Sabbath, we keep it because God is in us. We return tithes and offerings not just because, oh, I gotta do it or God won't bless me, but because He loves us and in return we love Him. He has given us the water of life. We help people. We love people. We minister to people, not just because God has said so, but because the water of life is welling up in us and we can't help ourselves. Amen. It just comes out. Little smoke dusties behind our feet as we're going down the trail to tell people. That's what it's like. That's what's there. This was a real revival and it began with one. Let it begin with you. Regardless of what other people do, let it be in your heart. nothing between you and your Savior. In our book on page 72, it talked about the old houses, old Dalmatia houses. Do you remember that? The old Dalmatia houses. And it talked about them building the houses out of the bituminous limestone. Do you remember? And as they built the house, they put it all together with these blocks, inside, outside, upside, downside, the whole house made of these blocks of stone. And the stone had this stinky stuff in it. And so when the house was built, you couldn't live in it until what? You set it on fire. You had to set it on fire. Wait, this is my house. What do you mean set it on fire? And there's a whole lot of people who say, hey, wait, this is my life. What do you mean set it on fire? We need to set our lives on fire for God and let His presence consume everything in us that's not the right building material. It's got to make a difference in our lives, or it's not a real revival. It needs to make a difference. And guess who gets to choose that? We do. We get to choose. But does that mean I can look at you and go, well, clearly you ain't had no revival? No. That's not my place. I'm here to make my relationship with God good, to make sure that that well of water is springing up into me. And then, however you are, that's not my problem. What is my problem is that I gotta do something with this living water, and you're there. So I give you some. And you got this water welling up in you, and you gotta do something with it, and I'm there. And you gotta give it to me. And so together, we are doing what God would want us to do. Jimmy couldn't help himself. And he had this well of water springing up of him, and he took this outrageous step of faith. But he had no idea what he was going to say when Nick got back. What am I going to say to Nick? What am I going to do? But he did this one thing. He gave God time. As he prayed, God moved in his heart. And so he takes this step of faith, go get something. So when Nick comes back, here's Jimmy standing there. And are you ready for this? Jimmy hears himself saying, go home and make your bed. What? Go home and make your bed. And Jimmy kind of apologizes. I guess you didn't really need to write that down. It wasn't that much, was it? But that's what you need to do. And Nick, how would Nick react? What do you think Nick would be thinking right about then? As his face goes blank, you know, right? Jimmy's sitting there going, uh-oh. And here's what Nick says to him. Nick comes right up to him and says, how did you know? How did you know? He says, I'm the last one who gets up every day. And this is a huge point of contention between me and my wife. She says it shows, gentlemen, are you taking notes here? She says it shows everything that's wrong with our relationship. I'm going home today at lunch before my wife gets home, and I'm going to make the bed. Woo! Can you imagine? You see, as this revival takes place in our lives, as it makes a change in us so that we are obedient to God in every area of our life, as we're faithful to Him, that revival moves on. And the next person is revived. it spreads. God's work is done. You see us, we are God's messengers, God's people, the ones who deliver His miracles. God makes a difference in lives. Think about what it took. Oh, yeah, sure, this was Jesus, of course. But what would it have taken for Jesus, really? Did Jesus ever meet this woman before? Had he seen her before? Had he been in that town his whole life and had seen that she had five husbands? Had he followed her around? How did he know? Why did he blurt out this thing about, call your husband? Oh, you've had five of them. Why didn't he say four or eight? You've had five husbands. Sure, it was Jesus. But do you think Jesus had an advantage over you in doing God's work here on earth? If so, and I were the devil, the first thing I would have said was, oh yeah, but he had extra help. It was not fair, right? You see, Jesus was in prayer every day because he had to maintain his relationship with the Father and be available for the Holy Spirit like you and I do, right? You see, the Holy Spirit that was available to Jesus, that was available to Jimmy, is available to members of the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church and beyond. Are you ready to take an outrageous step of faith? Are you ready to do things that will change your world? Are you ready for a true revival? A revival like God is asking you. Are you ready to forget yourself, forget your water pot? Are you ready to go make the bed?